Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 18th of July, 2010. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Andy's continuing his look at the Sermon on the Mount. And the reading is Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 23. As a visual aid in the sermon, Andy uses a fruit bowl and some pieces of fruit, so it might be handy if you've got some of those lying near you during the sermon. So let's go and hear the reading, and then Andy will start the sermon.
Reading is from Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 23. And these are the words of Jesus. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.
As you'll see, I have some bowls of fruit here, which, if you're lucky, I might share with you in a moment. But I'm going to leave them there so that you can look at them and your mouth can water. I thought, as we looked at that passage, what a perfect time of year to speak on living fruitful lives, fruitfulness, because I don't know if you've got any fruit in your garden, but it's sort of going berserk at the moment in ours, which is wonderful. But let's turn to this passage, in particular verse 15 of Matthew 7, where Jesus says, he's continuing his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Now, in the olden days, I believe, pirate ships, when pirates were pirates, and they sailed proper pirate ships, they would approach their intended victim showing a friendly flag to lure their victim into a false sense of security. However, apparently when it was too late for the victim ship to escape, the pirates would show their true colours. They would raise the Jolly Roger. In the mid-1980s, some of you may remember a pop singer called Cyndi Lauper. And she wrote a song which put a positive twist on this thing about our true colours. And these are some of the words. You with the sad eyes, don't be discouraged. Oh, I realise it's hard to take courage. In a world full of people, you can lose sight of it all, and the darkness there inside you can make you feel so small. But I see your true colours shining through. See your true colours, and that's why I love you. So don't be afraid. Let them show your true colours. True colours are beautiful, like a rainbow. Our true colours reveal who we really are and what we are really like. And we cannot escape, although I'm sure at times we would like to, we cannot escape the fact that the fruit of our lives betrays the content of our hearts. We cannot escape that fact, that the fruit of our lives, the outward living of our lives, and we'll explore this in a moment, betrays the contents, the true contents of our hearts. Jesus said, by their fruit you will recognize them. Now let's just go back to the beginning of chapter 7 for a moment, because if we read those first few verses of chapter 7, and we're going to study these at another time, but if we look at them, we see that Jesus has been warning his disciples about judging other people. He says in verse 4, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. And does what Jesus say in those few verses about watching out for false prophets contradict what I've just read him teaching just a few verses earlier at the beginning of chapter 7 about being more aware of the plank in your own eye than the speck in somebody else's eye? And then he says, but watch out for false prophets. After all, who is to say who is a false prophet or not? Is there not some kind of judgment going on there? We shall look at, as I say, we'll look at those verses at another time. But the verses I wanted to focus on this morning are those words of Jesus, by their fruit you will recognize them. And just taking those two thoughts about the plank and not judging, and just taking them for a moment, in the former, where we are told to we are to examine ourselves first, in the latter, we are to examine the fruit of other people's lives. In the former, we are to exercise humility, that we might not fall into false pride. But in the latter, we are to exercise discernment, that we would not fall into error. Let me just say that again. In the former, we are to exercise humility, that we would not fall into false pride. But in the latter, we exercise discernment, that we would not fall into error. You will notice that Jesus' warning about false prophets here in verse 15 comes immediately after another very well-known passage, after Jesus has been teaching his disciples about the wide and the narrow gates, and the wide and the narrow path. You see, because false prophets in the Old Testament were always those who insisted that God's way was really very broad and easy. Do you remember the false prophet Hananiah, who told the people in captivity in Babylon just what they wanted to hear? He says in Jeremiah 28, don't worry, folks. I know you're here in captivity. I know you're here in exile. I know you long to go back to Jerusalem. Don't worry. The Lord will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Break the yoke of the king of Babylon. And within 2 years, don't worry, you and all the articles of the Lord's house will be back in Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord, according to Hananiah. But then the true word of the Lord comes through Jeremiah. Listen, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you. Wow, that's bold, isn't it? The Lord has not sent you. You have persuaded this nation to trust in lies. Therefore, in chapter 29, Jeremiah declares that the people were going to remain in exile, far from what they wanted to hear. They were going to remain there for a while longer, and that therefore they should build houses, should settle down, should plant gardens, should eat what they produce, that they should marry and give their sons and daughters in marriage. And in verse 7 of chapter 29, that they should seek the peace and the prosperity of the city that God had carried them into exile. This was not what they wanted to hear, but it was the word of the Lord. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, and so on. And in verse 8 of chapter 29, Jeremiah says to the people, do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams that you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them. Wow. False prophets tell people what they want to hear. They deny that God is the God of judgment as well as steadfast love and mercy. False prophets give a sense of security to the people. John Stott says, they blur the issues, particularly the issue of salvation. They lull people to sleep in their sins. They fail to warn people of the impending judgment of God, or tell them how to escape it. We must all exercise humility about ourselves, lest we fall into pride. But we must also all exercise discernment about others, especially those who seem to have some kind of authority, especially those, like me, who teach and preach. We must all exercise discernment about the fruit in other people's lives. I mentioned last week about three levels of belief. Do you remember? Public belief, private belief, and core belief. And I asked the question, or rather Mike Novak, the philosopher, asked the question, how do we truly know, or how do we know what we truly believe? And the answer to that question, he says, is look at what we do. Jesus said, by their fruits you will recognize them. By observing their lives, you can discern what is in their hearts. And that is true for each and every one of us. By looking at my life, let me put myself under the spotlight. By looking at my life, you are able to discern what is in my heart. And likewise, by looking at your lives, I am able to discern what is in your heart to some degree. Now that's a frightening thought, isn't it? Isn't that a scary thought? Gosh, we might live differently. The problem is that much of what we truly are, we keep hidden in the dark because we don't want other people to see it. So the question is what are you really like? What am I really like in public and in private? What am I really like? Because the fruit of my life will reveal the content of my heart. The Message version of Matthew 7:15 says this. This is really lovely. Be wary of false preachers who smile a lot. I'm not going to smile anymore. Beware of false preachers who smile a lot, dripping with practiced sincerity. Chances are they're out to rip you off some way or other. Don't be impressed with charisma, but look for character. Who preachers are is the main thing, not what they say. I feel very much in the spotlight at the moment, but I don't mind. Or as our friend Lydia Hill said on more than one occasion, actions speak louder than words. Having said that, what prophets, preachers, and teachers say and how they say it can also reveal the content of their hearts. So the fruit, when Jesus says, by their fruit you will recognize them, the fruit that we must be looking out for is the truth of what they teach. Are they teaching the truth? As well as the manner of their life and their character. And to illustrate this, Jesus uses a familiar agricultural image, fruit. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes? And the answer is, now, I've only got a few of these, but if you're lucky, you can have one. Do people pick figs from thorn bushes? And the answer is, no, of course they don't. Likewise, a healthy tree, and this is where the spotlight turns not just onto me now as a teacher, but onto each and every one of us. So now it's your turn to be in the spotlight. Likewise, a healthy tree produces good fruit, but an unhealthy tree produces bad fruit. Thus, Jesus says, and he repeats himself as if to assert the point, thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. By your fruit, the fruit of your life, you will be able to discern the content of your heart, the true content of your heart. Of course, we're very familiar, aren't we, with John chapter 15, the vine and the branches. And that also talks a lot about the fruit, the fullness, the fruitfulness of our lives. And in verse 8 of John 15, Jesus says, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, revealing yourself to be my disciples. And that is the key. Notice, everyone produces some kind of fruit. The Bible doesn't say that some produce fruit and others don't. Everyone, every single one of us, produces fruit from the content of our lives, from the content of our heart. The difference is that some produce good fruit, produced from good inside, and some produce bad fruit from the bad inside. I want to suggest that actually all of us are probably a mixture of both, that we produce both good and bad. Now, there's a problem there, but I think that's probably the reality. As we sung in this beautiful song, I'd love the words of that. I don't know if they've been printed off. But that as we move on with the Lord, as the Holy Spirit works in us, so we his kingdom grows in us. What we produce depends on what is in here. If there is anger in here, we will be angry people at times. If there is hate in here, we will hate. If there is love in here, we will love. Our lives, our words, our deeds, our actions will lay bare the contents of our heart. If we are close to Jesus, then the fruit of our lives will reveal that we are close to Jesus. We may come to church. We may pray. We may preach. We may sing worship songs. We may say we believe in him. We may say we love him. We may claim to be his disciples. We may call him Lord. We may prophesy in his name. We may drive out demons in his name and even perform miracles in his name. But are we close to Jesus? Are we close to Jesus? Abide in me, Jesus said, and you will bear much fruit. That's the secret. Abide in me, Jesus said, and you will produce much fruit. This passage is focused on false prophets, but the principle is true for each and every one of us. By our fruit, we will be recognized. Our true colors reveal what we are really like. And that is what I want us to focus on just for the last few minutes of our time together this morning. Too many of us, if not all of us to one extent or another, are so ashamed about some of the things that we know are what we are like on the inside. There is much, I'm sure, that each one of us can be glad about and praise God for, but there will be in each one of us those aspects of our lives which we are ashamed of and which we keep behind closed doors. And we're frightened to show our true colours because we reveal what we are really like, and we might be afraid of what other people will think about us and that they might reject us. Some say we wear masks to cover it up. We used to say at Lee Abbey, where we lived in such close proximity with each other, you can't keep your mask on forever. Sooner or later, because of one circumstance or another, we would show our true colours. What I want to do is I want to pass this fruit around. Could I have some help? Would you take that round, Tip? Would you take that round? We have local cherries from Pixford Farm, just up the road. The grapes are from Spain. The strawberries are also local. I know there are some. Are you able to? Are you all right with that? Are you sure? Thank you. John, would you just take a bowl of strawberries around? What I'd like us to do is just take a fruit. At this point, don't eat it. Too late. Well, if you've eaten it, take some more. There's plenty. There's grapes, cherries, strawberries. Avoid the small strawberries. What I want us to do, just for the next few minutes, is I want us to do what Jesus said we should do. And at this moment, I don't want you to focus on anyone else. I don't want you to focus on me and what a dreadful person I am. I want you to focus on you. Okay? This is a time for you, just a few minutes, for you to focus on you. I'd like us to hold the fruit in our hands. And as we focus on that small bit of fruit, if you like, I want us to examine the fruit of our lives, of your life and mine. Jesus said, consider the plank in your own eye. I want us to consider the fruit in our own life. And I want us to consider the fruit in our, not just our public life, what other people might see in us or think about us. But I want us to also think about the fruit of our lives when we're behind closed doors, when nobody else can see. They can come back if you like, bro. Because only you and God know that. Only you and God know the thoughts of your hearts, the words, and so on. Now, I'm not here saying that we're all wicked people. But there are, for each and every one of us, areas of our lives that are not yet transformed, are not yet perhaps producing the good fruit that Jesus is looking for in our lives. I just want to spend a couple of minutes in quiet. And as you look at the fruit in your hands, ask yourself the question, what is the fruit, what is the good fruit in your life that you can celebrate and you can thank God for? But what is the bad fruit that you don't want anyone else to see, that you might be ashamed of? Because what we want is transformation, don't we? We want to be people who produce good fruit. What is the good that you can celebrate? What is the bad that you don't want anyone else to see? The thoughts, the words, the deeds, the public and the private. We discovered at Lee Abbey that whilst we had these masks on, God couldn't or wouldn't deal with them. But as soon as we brought them out into the open, as soon as we confessed them to Him, and sometimes confessed them to others, we found He began to deal with them and that He could change us from the inside out. I am the true vine, Jesus said, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. Jesus can take a single part of our life which produces bad fruit, anger, hurt, resentment, deceitfulness, greed, lust, sinfulness, and he can transform us so that these things are replaced by good fruit, such as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Would you like to eat the piece of fruit that you have? And let's pray. Abide in me, Jesus said, and you will bear much fruit. Lord, this morning we have thought about the good and the bad fruit produced in our lives. And we want to thank you for the good fruit that you have begun to produce in us. And we acknowledge that, and we are grateful for it, and we praise you that you have taken us and you have begun to produce in us good things, good fruit, and we praise you, Lord. Thank you. But this morning we confess that not everything produced in our life is good, but that sometimes we produce anger. Sometimes we say wrong things. Sometimes we think bad things. Sometimes, Lord, we do wrong. We sin against you. And sometimes, Lord, we fail to do what is right. Lord, it's these things about which we're concerned this morning. And Lord, we confess them to you this morning. Whatever it was that came to our minds, we confess them to you. And we want to come to you this morning, Lord, and say, forgive us for the wrong in our lives, for the bad fruit that is produced. Forgive us, Lord, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But Lord, would you not just forgive us, but would you also remove from us the root of badness, whatever it is that produces bad fruit, that produces these things about which we have confessed. Lord, we do want you to cleanse us, but we also want to be changed in the depth of our heart. So would you root it out, Lord, whatever it is. And would you replant the fruit of your Spirit in our lives, that we may be people who through and through produce good fruit in keeping with your kingdom and the presence of your Holy Spirit in our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you'd like to leave a comment on the sermon, please do so over at minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening. Please stay subscribed and I'll speak to you soon.